Good morning.
Oh, good. I'm on.
Okay. Yeah, as Rob said, you know, I would have liked to be up here much sooner than right now, but starting a youth pastor or a youth ministry from scratch is a bit of a process, especially if you've never done anything like that, never led a youth ministry before. Working on a master's degree is time-consuming. Then you get married, and then you buy a house. And so just a lot of things. And in any given week, it feels like the time and care that goes into preparing a sermon, if I were to put that on top of everything else, I might have gone bonkers. But now is the time. So thank you for the chance to be here in front of you today. So I'd like to begin by taking a page out of Pastor Rob's book and starting with a story. Men's Health portrayed the life of a man who believed his heart attack was caused primarily by grief. Acclaimed mountaineer Conrad Anker and his team trekked up Tibet's 26,335-foot Shisha Pangma for a specific mission to retrieve the frozen body of his best friend, Alex Lowe, who had died in an avalanche. Anker had been with Lowe and had seen him being swept to his death. Once the body was found, Anker carried the body down the mountain, a wrenching burden that weighed on his soul. And that's Anker there on the right, Conrad, and then his friend Alex on the left. Anker said, "Going back up there and seeing everything was super emotional. I was stressed and I felt my heart." The Men's Health writer went into detail. "I felt my heart." What man or woman hasn't at some point in his or her life? When we go on a first date, take a knee to propose, approach the lectern to make a speech in public, or hear of a loved one's death, our hearts talk to us and we talk back. This is why for centuries, before we even understood how it does its primary job of pumping blood, the heart has been a powerful symbol of many things: love, emotion, intuition, conviction, I believe in my heart, and truth, the heart of the matter. Recent studies show that our emotions can directly affect our heart health. That may be why, for example, more people seem to have heart attacks on Mondays than any other day of the week. Cold Mondays are even more dangerous. People who have experienced a sudden acute trauma, such as the death of someone close, can suffer a physical change in the heart. When Anker said his friend's death touched his heart, it probably did. With a show of hands, if you're comfortable, can anyone here relate to these sentiments regarding the impact of pain and trauma on the physical heart? If it is so common for our hearts to physically hurt this way in connection to our suffering, then it's no wonder that someone long ago coined the term brokenhearted. Since such a condition has afflicted so many of us and so many around the world, I want to invite everyone here today to find hope in this word of God in Psalm 34:18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." In order to explore this promise of God further and to unlock the secret of living it out, there are three subtopics that I wish to visit: heavy burdens you may bear, a choice for you to make, and two biblical truths for you to apply. We begin first with heavy burdens that you may bear. What lies at the heart of brokenheartedness? It's always pain. And what is the driving force behind that pain that cuts into the very core of our being? It's loss. The kind of loss capable of breaking the heart and causing trauma. Such loss takes two main forms. The first is the loss of something or someone very close to you or dear to you. Mountaineer Conrad Anker lost his fellow climber and best friend, Alex. I tried doing a little bit of Facebook research to see if I could find out what Conrad believed spiritually, and I came up empty. So I don't know if he has any hope, trustworthy or not, that he'll ever get to see Alex again. But even if he does, the fact remains that Alex died on October 5th, 1999, and at age 55, Conrad has already walked this earth for just over 19 years without him. He's been unable to talk to him on the phone, to get together for lunch, or to go on adventures together, climbing some of the most harrowing peaks all over the globe. If Conrad goes on to live a full life, he may go another 30 years in a world without Alex Lowe. Even if he's confident he'll see him again, and confident for the right reason, that's still a very long time to wait. There are, of course, numerous other versions of this first kind of loss, the things that we hold dear that are taken from us. People who experience lasting physical ailments, cancer, a severe stroke, chronic arthritis, damaged or worn out limbs, ligaments, joints, and so on, lose the freedom to live without intense physical pain, to do all the things that they used to be able to do. They may lose financial independence or any combination of all of the above. A child whose parents go through a divorce loses the peace and security that comes from believing his or her parents love each other no matter what, and that mom and dad will always take care of them together. Anyone who endures any form of abuse from a mother, father, husband, wife, or other relative or friend loses their sense of bodily or emotional autonomy and sense of safety, even if the perpetrator is physically distant. Drug or alcohol addicts can lose children, spouses, a career, health, and their freedom if incarcerated. And the list goes on, far beyond the situations and effects that I have named. Then there is a second type of loss, the things that we needed but never had or received. Though not a loss in the sense of losing that which you had, the impact is much the same. When remembering growing up, I can closely relate to this form of loss. Though my mom and dad were married for most of my childhood, not separating until I was almost 17 and not finalizing their divorce till just prior to my 18th birthday, it seemed to me more often than not that my parents just didn't get along. I prefer to shy away from the reasons and details surrounding why this is so out of respect for both of them, but theirs was not a happy marriage, for the most part. And you know what? I really wanted it to be. As a kid, I probably wanted the assurance that my mom and dad loved each other more than I wanted anything else in the entire world. And every time that it seemed that things were going at least okay for a little while, and then they would start to argue again, very loudly, and my mom's tears would come, well, my heart would sink right down to my sneakers. What makes the whole situation sadder still, upon later reflection and revelation on my part, is that both my parents had endured losses and traumas growing up, losses that played an unrealized but pivotal role in their own struggles in marriage. In summary, for as long as I could remember, I needed to know that my parents were happy together, and the fact that they were not weighed heavily on my heart. The loss that we experience, the pain that we endure, is a burden on each of us. It can crush our happiness, it can squelch our energy, and it can even steal the very air from our lungs, making us feel like we're suffocating. In some cases, we endure the weight of our loss every single day, even when we're not actively thinking about it. Now I would like to explore a choice that you need to make. I want to be upfront in admitting that the pain of deep loss has a habit of enduring no matter how you choose to address it. It scars us, it changes us, and just when you think that you've dealt with it or gotten over it, you see or you hear or you smell or you remember something that reminds you of what you have lost and the pain returns, sometimes with a vengeance. Now, before I continue further, I want to note something that might sound ironic or contradictory. In a way, I'm okay with the reality of this, the way that deep pain endures in revisiting us. If you lose something or someone of deep value to you, Doesn't it make sense that the pain that you feel would match in intensity and duration the esteem that you had for that thing or person or the value that you placed on them? The pain reminds you of how precious that which you lost really was. That being said, a choice still remains whenever you feel the burden of loss pressing down on you. Your pain invades your inner space and it demands your attention. It forces you to listen to it and to respond. So, how do you respond? One option is to listen only to the pain, to believe that in your inner space, it's just you and the pain present. Because pain hurts by definition, it's natural to want to escape the pain, to shut it away, to avoid it. There are a number of options to utilize in the attempt to avoid your pain, and they are often unconsciously chosen. Some people blame others or circumstances for their pain, fairly or unfairly. Some try to rationalize their circumstances. Well, this is just the way that the world is. Or, I guess I'm just the kind of person that these kinds of things happen to, and there's nothing that I can really do about it. Some use humor. I recall a story of a therapist who was counseling a family where the mother had a severe alcohol addiction. During one session, a number of family members were making light of her drinking problems, laughing it off when only a few days before she had almost drank herself to death for the second time in 3 months. Some people just get angry. They hurt and they don't know how to find peace, and so they rage. Sometimes for no reason that the person who is the target of their rage can understand. They themselves often don't know why they are so angry. Perhaps some of you can relate that there are times, thankfully far less frequently than they used to be, where somebody can say something to me in just a certain tone or type of way, and I'm just instantly ticked off and close to something worse. Here's the key point. No matter what method you choose to try to push the burden of loss out of sight, it presses down on you all the same. Unaddressed, the pain that you feel can lead to a sense of emotional numbness, depression, anxiety, or irrational anger. To top it all off, when no one else is around and it feels like it's just you and the pain, there's probably no other circumstance that has more power to convince you that God is not there. And if God's not there, if He has abandoned you, then you are truly alone in your suffering. And any chance of deliverance or healing can feel like a pipe dream. And I don't blame anyone suffering from deep loss who finds themselves feeling this way. Who else in the world can fully understand your unique experience of loss and the pain that it causes? Others might experience very similar types of loss, but it's just not the same. No other human being is able to feel your pain. But you do have a second option, to listen not just to your pain, but to listen to God's promise of presence. For God's word says that He is near the brokenhearted. Today I would like to express to you that promise in the form of two biblical truths for you to apply. The first of these truths is this: God desires to take your burdens. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we read this: I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. In the several chapters leading up to chapter 46, the Lord makes it clear that He is set apart from all other gods, for they are nothing but lifeless idols, while He is real and has real power to save. In this verse in Isaiah chapter 46, that which He has the power to do, He promises to do, to carry you along and to save you. Though originally made to the Jewish people, this promise belongs to all of us who trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have relationship with God. And we find this affirmed in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. For the sake of today's message, I invite you to focus specifically on those two final clauses. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God's willingness to take your burden of suffering is not something that he grudgingly commits to, only out of the expectation of something that you can give him in return. He is willing because he cares for you very deeply. King David paints the perfect picture of God's care for all of us in Psalm 139 when he praises God for knowing every intimate detail of David and his life even before he was born, and how God's thoughts about him were precious and outnumbering the grains of sand. God's thoughts about David and the loving care with which he knit him together in his mother's womb, that is the same care that he has for you, and the same desire that he has to take up your burdens. Now, something I think we must appreciate about God is that he does not forcibly take from his children. He doesn't force them to receive the aid and healing he offers. He does not violate his gift of free will to us in that way. This leads us to the second biblical truth for you to apply, that you offer your burden of pain by crying out to him. Listen to these words of David in Psalm 13 and think for a moment, if you feel able, of the loss that has caused you suffering in your own life. Suffering that perhaps you have been unable to bring to before God until now. Listen to these words of David, but instead envision these words coming not from his lips, but from your own. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he's good to me. And let's try this exercise again, this time with some more words from David in Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. You may not be besieged as David was by King Saul and his soldiers or by other human enemies, but if pain isolates you, stealing your hope and making you feel abandoned by God, then I declare to you this morning that it is a weapon in the hands of your true enemy, Satan. We can cry out to God for his help in turning away this weapon of the devil and turning it into something that brings us closer to God instead. In Psalm 13 and Psalm 61, we find two very important themes. First, the theme of honesty in feeling and emotion. How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every single day? O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. Was it true that God's presence had left David? No, but it sure felt like it to him. We were made by God to give voice to our strongest emotions, whether good or bad, joyful or full of anguish. God wants you to be honest with him, to be brutally honest with him about how you are feeling. And he can take whatever you throw at him. The second theme, in addition to that of honest expression, is trust in God. But I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Even in the midst of the feeling that God had left him, David made a choice to trust in God's promise that he loved David unconditionally, to sing praises to God and his faithfulness, even in the midst of great trial and anguish. Your feelings may make you feel like God isn't there, but you, too, can make the choice to cry out to him. You can choose to believe the promise that he hears you, that he cares for you, and even though it feels like it at times that he isn't there, that he actually will never, ever leave your side. Of course, it's not as simple as crying out to him one time, offering your burden to him, and the weight of that burden is gone for good. As I said earlier, pain endures, and it revisits us repeatedly. Each time that it does, the choice arises again. Listen only to the pain, or offer it honestly to God, and trust him and his promise of presence. The former option offers little chance of comfort and healing. The latter option, though the process can be very slow, offers both. In closing, I'd like to first read again from our main verse, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I believe that the two biblical truths that we have just explored, that God is willing to take the burdens of the hurting, and that we offer him those burdens by crying out to him, are central to our ability to be able to take Psalm 34:18 to heart. Promises of God, though they may be, our faith can often fail. This is surely one of the reasons why God invented the church to be the body of Christ and to do his work on earth. He knew how much we would need to support each other in keeping faith and being faithful. I think that it's in this spirit that the Apostle Paul called on the Galatian church and all of us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. My brothers and sisters, we have a duty to each other to bravely enter into each other's pain, not understanding it comprehensively, but understanding and sympathizing with it as best as we are able. This is best done on a foundation of relationship and trust, carefully built over time. Even then, it's not easy, particularly if the other person's pain triggers painful memories of your own. All the same, I encourage you to try. To kindly and gently try to dig a little bit deeper. When you ask someone, "Is everything all right?" and they say, "Oh, I'm fine," but you get the feeling that they're not fine. Show the friend who hurts that you are willing to hear their pain and not retreat from it. The more that we are able to meet each other in our pain, the greater our capacity to believe that God is willing to do the exact same thing for us. I will now end with the greatest and most important promise of all, the greatest expression of the promise that God really is close to the brokenhearted and that he really does save those who are crushed in spirit. That truth is Jesus Christ. Through him, we have deliverance, redemption, healing, and hope in this world and after our time in this world has come to an end. He willingly came to earth from heaven, took on a human form, lived among us, and demonstrated clearly through his ministry that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He proved who he really was most of all when he willingly took upon himself the Roman scourging, took upon himself the nails of the cross, and in death on that cross, took upon himself the burden and wages of sin, that we deserved. On the third day, he conquered death, allowing all who put their faith in him to do the same and become eternal brothers and sisters with him in the kingdom of God. It was he who spoke this invitation to any who are willing to accept it. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. If there be here anyone today who have not yet taken up Jesus on this invitation, anyone who has not believed in their heart and confessed out loud that Jesus is Lord and placed their trust in him, I humbly ask you to give serious consideration to these questions. Do you have any need at all, for redemption, healing, and a higher hope, not only for this life, but for what comes after? Do you carry a heavy burden of your own that you would like to at least be able to share with the one who does fully understand the pain that you have endured? Do you desire a guarantee that, while not in this life, but in the eternity that follows, that all your pain and sorrow will be fully wiped away forever? If you give it careful consideration and conclude that you really don't need or want any of those things, I do not have anything else of any value to offer to you. But if even the smallest part of you yearns for these things, I am here to tell you that Jesus is the ultimate proof that God loves you unconditionally, and that he offered himself for you so that by calling on his name, you will be saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, each of us carries our own burden of pain, of loss that we have experienced in our lifetime. And it's often so heavy, and it feels like we just can't go on. I pray, God, that in those moments you would, through your Holy Spirit, grant us the gift of faith, that even in the midst of our pain and our hurt, we would be able to remember that you promise to be there for us always. You promise to rescue and save us. You promise us healing. I pray you would help us, God, to remember that and to call out to you. I pray, God, that you would help us to remember that when we do that, you want us to be honest. No matter what it is that we are feeling and no matter how we throw it at you, pray, God, that we would remember that that is how we open the door for you to take our burdens, is by sharing them with you. And I pray, God, that we would continue to place our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, that even in the midst of our pain that endures, that even if we receive healing, we still never forget what we have lost, that we would remember that if we put our faith in your Son, Jesus, that when our time on this earth comes to an end, then we will be fully healed. We will be made whole in a way that we have never been whole before. And I pray, God, that if there's anybody here that does not have that hope, the assurance of that hope in salvation and eternity spent with you, that they may place their faith in Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we ended pretty early, but that's all I got for you. So feel free to come up forward. Thank you. If you would like prayer for any of the sorts of things that I spoke about this morning, or for any other matter, feel free to come up front. Otherwise, we have refreshments and delicious treats in the Cookie Palace. Thank you.